I've just got a few moments now, so I think originally I was just going to speak into Colin's role, but this morning I just felt I wanted to say just a couple of minutes about some of the process for myself and my family and what we're stepping into. So I want to do that. There's that verse in Revelations. Those of you that do the big ear or hang around me will regularly hear me quote it, where it says, "They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And then the last bit, which we often forget, is that they didn't love their lives even to death. And one of the things that that I have learned through the years of following Jesus, and what I want to share this morning, touches on the process for us as a family. I know many of you have been concerned for us as a family and have been very generous in your words to us and so on. So I wanted to speak about that so you can hear where we're at. But I also just wanted to share some things which will lead on very much to what I believe for Colin and for Vicky. But also they are what I believe for us as a church that is needed. A church that is needed not just as a church here, but I mean a type of church that I want this to become, that I want River to become more and more like, which I believe we are. Because the nation will not be won to Jesus through clever programs. Colin alluded to the fact I used to work with an international organization called Dawn, that stood for Disciple a Whole Nation. And, you know, in the best of our plans, we make our plans to disciple a whole nation, but we're not going to achieve it that way. We are only going to achieve it in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection power of Jesus Christ has been a journey into it that we have taken as a family. Judith, before she even met me, and me before I met Judith, had started on a journey into the resurrection power of Jesus. And this becomes another step in that journey. And I want to put this morning in that context. You see, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which is fantastic that our stories have that. But then there's this kind of sting in the tail, but they didn't love their lives even to death. And you see, the funny thing is that even your testimony becomes part of your fleshly accomplishments. You see, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Yesterday's manna is yesterday's manna. You can't eat it today. You can remember it. You can be encouraged by it. You can stand on it prophetically. You can be guided by what it meant, but you cannot live on it. You cannot live on it. And the trouble is that what happens in our Christian lives is we walk so far, we establish testimony, and we become comfortable in that place. We become comfortable in our accomplishments. I was healed from cancer. I have a better testimony than a lot of people I meet. I'm sorry, you know who I'm saying. I may not have had anything to do with it. It wasn't my faith, somebody else's, but I got healed from cancer. I have a testimony. I can live. I can dine off that if I want to, but it's yesterday's manna. And 6 months ago, I would never have believed that I would not be the leader of River Church in the way that we have been. You see, we've got, you notice the subtlety there, which is my suggestion. It says senior leader, River. Okay. And I would never have believed that I wouldn't be doing that role. And the process has been a surprise, but I want to say this. One of the things I learn is that there is no, let me read the verses that God gave me this morning. I wasn't going to say anything, and I read these, and I thought, I need to say something this morning. It's from Philippians, and you know the passage, well, I'm sure. You know, I count all things lost in the passing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. I just want to say that the letting go of the leadership locally is of a loss to me. Okay, I want to say that. I mean, it's not done easily, and it's not done without pain. I absolutely love this community of people. I love not just the community of people, because that's something theoretical. I love individuals as I look around this room. But there is testimony that's become fleshly if it's just, well, I'm the leader of this fantastic group of people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. But it is a loss. It really is a loss. Now, when he says, but they're all rubbish, I'm not calling you rubbish. I'm just saying, you hear what I'm saying. But there is a loss. Because I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And I just want to say this quickly too. We must. I believe that out of the message of presence, the next step for us as a church and for where the Lord wants to take is that, you see, faith is the fruit of presence. Because faith is not about belief, it is about leaning on His faithfulness. And so you can't lean on His faithfulness until you have His presence. It's His faithfulness in presence that we lean on. And there is a way of doing the Christian life that is based on law. And although we think we're not religious, every single one of us can find it easy to lean on law. And there is a way of living the Christian life that is based on faith. Of course, Paul says, actually, it's a joke if you say that the other way is the Christian life. It's not. But there are people who think it is. Okay. You see, faith is what moves history along. It says that in Scripture, whether it's your personal history or whether it's world history. We understand that it is by faith that the seasons have been framed, the ages have been framed, it says in Hebrews. We cannot move forward into the destiny and plans that God has for history without there being faith. And faith is in conflict with understanding, because understanding comes from faith. It is by faith that we understand. Not because we have understanding that we have faith. And as we walk as a family into this next session, I want to say, despite the things that go up on the board, there is an awful lot of unknowns for us. You know, for the sake of the body and everything else, we often will sound more confident than you really are, you know. That's the truth. That it is by faith we walk into what is coming next. Have a righteousness that is not based on law, it's not doing things the right way, it's not getting everything right. There is a tyranny in the church of having to get things right. Okay, it is tyrannical because it pushes you into a place of doing things right is living on a new type of law. But there is a righteousness that comes by faith. And then it says this, which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I may know Him, but also the power of His resurrection. And you know, that's the trouble sometimes, isn't it, with the church, is we say we know Him, but we don't have much of the power of His resurrection. And I don't want to diss what we do have, but I want to say, when I read Scripture, it tells me that there must be 1,000 layers more to step into. But how do you step into it? You have to do it by faith. And then it says this is scary, and it says, normally it says, and the fellowship of His suffering, the power of His resurrection, and. But that Greek joining word is just a joining word. So it could be, but the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I, not that I get saved. Paul knew he was saved. He knew he'd get resurrected. He's talking about the power of the resurrection that he's walking in. That the power of the resurrection is something you walk into in fellowship with His sufferings in order that you might obtain to that resurrection. That there is no journey into what God has for His church that does not come with a stripping away of the flesh. We are of the circumcision of the heart. The flesh is being stripped off. And the flesh, you see, it's not about hurting ourselves in that kind of, you know, Catholic way, like in Dan Brown's, you know, do the thing. It is about that actually your prides and the things you find identity in. And you know, there is a great identity when River is such a great church to say, oh, I was the leader of that church. I did this. You know, we had that great testimony in Complete Life from the guys at Bethel, and it says, what an incredible prophetic church this body is. Say, you know what? We were there. That's the flesh. But actually, where the Lord calls us, we have to not become reliant on those things, and it strips it away, and it isn't comfortable. And I want to say that because I don't believe this is for ones and twos. This is the kind of church that Jesus wants. This is the place where He wants to take us. That the consequence of His presence is to lean in faith into His faithfulness. And to walk in faith does not mean that you do acts of sacrifice where you hurt yourself, but it will take you into places which will be darn uncomfortable. Very, very painful. I shared during last year, and this was, of course, before the changes that happen now, during last year, the pain of having the truth of who you are pulled back and starting to see it. And coming to terms with the truth of who we are is painful. It is painful. But it is the only way that the Lord is going to get a church that can speak with authority into moral situations without pompous self-righteousness. Is for that revelation that comes. And you know what? I almost would swear and say it is really painful. I don't want to scare anyone from this journey because I think it's fantastic. You want to know? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than live eternity elsewhere. Do you know what that means? Is you can do the most trivial thing. If you do it in the light of the face of the Father, it is the most thrilling, exciting, and rich experience in the world. You can have every success in business and in the business of church, but it can be unconnected to the purposes of your Father. And I want to always stay in that place. Judith said something early on in this process, which is such a fantastic challenge. She said, you know, I never want us to get stuck in a place where we're slick leaders. I always want to be a passionate follower of Jesus. And I do believe that too often in church what happens is, and I don't say this with any personal criticism anywhere, but what I want us not to be, is we develop a certain level of slickness, and it's easier to stay there and get more and more professional in what we do. Tighten that little bit here, tweak this bit there, do this little bit there. And in fact, what we're doing is we're getting fat on our history instead of following Jesus, instead of going where he's taking us. I've got to be quick because I want to get on and say what I believe for Colin. It comes out of this, though. I'm not saying I've already obtained it or already become perfect. I press on in order I may lay hold of that which I've been laid hold of. I've been laid hold of by Christ, for which I've been laid hold of for Christ. Both Judith and I know in our lives that we were laid hold of by Christ. And as messy as it may feel, and as insecure as sometimes it may feel, we believe that we are pushing on forward to push into what he has laid hold of us for. Not because we feel we're better or bigger than the folks here. Actually, I want you to hear it is a real loss and a pain, even though I will still be around and still have title and all of those things. You hear that, what I'm saying? But actually, it genuinely has. But it is for the sake of what he has laid hold of us for. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Says, never lose that sense of the upward call. Now, let us therefore, as many of you are who are perfect, it's slightly ironic, it's the way Paul talks sometimes, if you are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything has a different attitude, God can help reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. In other words, he's saying, push on, or at least stay where you are. And then this verse, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. What Paul is saying is, look at the way I do it and follow. And I just want to bring in what I believe for Colin at this stage. Colin has been very gracious in the way he's said that he, you know, as we've walked together, he has followed my example. And I want to say that in Colin taking on the role he is taking on, he is stepping in, and I put myself in this, that like Paul, this is what I'm trying to do. Like Paul, this is what Colin is wanting to live. That as Colin steps into what he is doing, he is making his, we are creating a culture where you see, if you are going to keep going on in Jesus, you have to keep moving forwards. You know, that is why so many churches lose it. Because in the end, the main leader can't move on, if you like. But actually, it's not just the main leader, it can be every one of us. Churches go stagnant because the person who does Alpha does it for 15 years. Sorry, Chris, not personal. The person who does welcoming does it for all those years. Instead of moving on, we stay where we are, which means that we never create the flow. So the new people coming in either have nothing to do here, or you see all those people who have done the big year, who we've released in how to pray for the sick and how to prophesy. If we give them no new opportunities, they will go stagnant and it will become worse than if we'd never trained them. And part of what I'm looking to do is create environments where we take people out to see situations emerging where those who have been trained and feel a call to leadership but maybe not called to lead here can go. But that needs to be a culture that is true for every single one of us. That there are people who stay in their position far, far too long. And in doing so, we get slick and we get professional. We become better than anybody else ever could be in this role, but we've lost that freshness of following Jesus, of risking the loss to my flesh of the position I own and all those things that go with it. And yet we become a block. And this is a call to be a river church. And rivers are not stagnant pools. They keep moving. And so I want you to understand, for myself and Judith, as we step forwards in what we're doing, there is a recognition which is not an easy one, because actually it would be much more easy to stay. But that somehow things need to keep moving. Somehow things need to keep moving. So as I step forwards, I'm making space for Colin to step into. Colin made the observation the other day, he always seems to be making me redundant. This isn't quite making me redundant. Colin actually made me redundant in my, make me uncomfortable. But I am, it's such a privilege to make space for Colin's gifting. My own gifting grew from being a teacher into something prophetic and apostolic. My wife's gifts moved from being pastoral to prophetic to apostolic. Colin, I have seen already growing from his evangelism into, he's adding a teaching as well to it, but he is growing into the apostolic. I want to say now, as I release Colin to this role, that I want to be setting a model for him too, because not to say, what I'm saying is, I believe that Colin's anointing is going to keep on growing. Because in Colin, I see that same desire that wants to live on today's manner, not yesterday's. Colin has not arrived, but Colin is growing. Okay? Colin is stepping into something. He will do things differently, but we will be there as well together. Okay? He will be his own man, but he is on his journey. He is having to let go of things that for him were comfortable and good. He will not be able to do as much of the work into Nepal that he has loved doing and which he pioneered and which he has every right to stick his name above the center that says the Colin Barnes Training Institute in Nepal. He has all of those rights, but he won't have that space as he steps into what he's doing. There is a loss going on as well as a promotion. So often we just see and think, wow, isn't it great? Wouldn't it be great to be there? There will be loss going on for Colin. There is a sacrifice and a price that will be paid by his family. I know that price too. But he is stepping into it, and I'm pleased to pass it back and say, it's great, Colin, let's go on to the next stage together. My hope is I will take Colin to places. My hope is I will take teams of folks here to places, that we keep doing those things. And so I want to recognize over Colin that this is a part of the growth of who he is into the next stage. I want to say of Vicky that this is the growth of her into the next stages of who she is. That this is the most natural thing for us to do if we're going to go on following Jesus and walk by faith. That the seasons of our lives are marked out by steps, which will be a challenge. But by the very nature of the fact that they are a challenge, there will be things we have to learn. And we never become slick. We never become professional. And so Vicky will be stepping up. Colin will be stepping up. It's not to have arrived, but it is a part of that journey of faith. And so I want to just to, in a minute, I'm going to ask Colin and Vicky up, and I'm going to ask others to stand and pray with them. But I just want to say this. First of all, Colin, then to Vicky, sorry, it's kind of juggling the two. It was a privilege, and it was the Lord's plan that called me out of London, stuck me next to Colin working at Delta Scheme. Now, the fact that it was the Lord's plan to connect us, I don't believe, theologically, that doesn't set a blueprint for the way life had to go. There are roots and turns we've taken in our relationship that may have gone that way, may have gone another way, and it's the same with Vicky. When I met Vicky, there was clear divine connection. There was a connection through people that we knew in the past, but there were also connections between where Vicky had been at college and Judith and I had been at college. There were those clear divine connections. There is a bringing together of the Lord. And then in relationship, you walk those things out and see where they go. You see where they go. And I want to say it's been a privilege to work with both of these folks. It will be a privilege to walk on to the next step. I want to commend them to you as a church. I know that just as it was for Al as he stepped back. And sometimes Al has to deal with the loss of the fact that there are people here who don't even remember that he led the church once because you've come in since. I know in 5 years' time it will be the same way, that there will be people in the room who don't really know what you ever brought to the church if they don't see you as regularly and don't do those things. But it is a privilege to make space for them. It was an honor to be made space for. And I want to challenge every one of us is that our lives will move on by acts of faith, which sometimes will become painful. In fact, I question whether they will ever not be painful. It is if we suffer with him so that we will obtain to the power of his resurrection. That there is an authority that comes as we let go of those things in the flesh, even though they were good, even though they were part of our testimony, and we move on to the next. So Colin, would you, and Vicky, would you like to come on up? And I want to invite the central team, and I want to invite Billy and Caroline. We're going to pray and we're going to commission them to take on this role. You know, leadership is an honor and it's a privilege. It's an honor and it's a privilege. It's an honor and a privilege. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you for this man. I want to thank you for this lady, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that they have walked in this pattern that we were reading about, Lord Jesus, that they have let go. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they have actually, they have sacrificed for the sake of the calling that you led them into. You see, calling, we make such a big thing, but it's just the leading of the Spirit on our personal journeys, Lord. We all have one. But, Lord Jesus, for the sake of those things, they have a history already established of being able to let go of what came before, to be able to let go of what could be their rights and what could be their privileges for the honor of stepping into those places with you. And so, Father, I want to commission them. I want to release them. I want to give them every spiritual space, Lord Jesus, to make their mark, Lord Jesus, in the establishing and building alongside of Jesus Christ in this body here. And, Father, I recognize over them that they both have calling that will take them eventually beyond, Lord Jesus, the local. But, Lord, right now, for this season, this is where they are living. This is where they are working. This is where their energies are going, Lord Jesus. And we bless them in it, Lord Jesus. We commission them to you. Father, we permission them to you to lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.
For you, Colin, I feel the Lord say about you that you are a man of peace. In Psalm 37, it tells us that there is posterity for the man of peace. And you will leave a legacy here that will be remembered. Do not apologize for yourself, Colin. Don't do it. But agree with God about who you are for this community of churches and the towns they represent. Because of who you are, Colin, things will change. Now it's time for a focus on the people who do not yet know the good news. It's time to pastor the communities in which River is placed, to literally be a broad stream that waters what grows on the riverbanks. Seek the peace and prosperity of the towns you have spiritual authority over. Encourage these people here to reach out, to get involved and influence the lives of ordinary people, to pray for them, to serve them, to love them. Ordinary people will do extraordinary things because of the training they've had so far. They'll do that in the streets, in the shops, at work, in their neighborhoods. Help your people to understand that all of them can be the message. They can bring the word, do the works, and the wonders. It's a season of joy coming, Colin. Joy in the fact that the kingdom is real and each person in this room has a part to play. It's a time of peace because of who you are and rest, but not idleness. It's a time for you, Colin, to be daring, like Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14. It's a time to believe that this gospel is real, and you must be strong and courageous, Colin. Amen. And for you, Vicky, do not underestimate the role that you have entered into. Your contribution will be one of strength and strategy, as well as the feminine and fun. You will know when these are needed. This is time for more of who you are to be revealed, Vicky, for the benefit of the churches and the communities they represent. You know how to be bold and daring, and this is a season for that with regard to reaching out, serving and loving people and influencing the town that you live in. Remember that a leader alone does not have all the answers, but together you have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I just want to pray for these two people. Lord, I thank you that you have commissioned them. It's not us doing it. But Lord, we bless them for the role ahead, for the tasks ahead. And Lord, I thank you that what you have stamped uniquely on their lives as a contribution to this world will come out. Lord, will emerge, will surface in new and exciting and daring ways. God, I thank you that they are enough. They are enough for this time and the season ahead. Lord, draw out of them all that you have placed in them by your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we pray for Vicky and for Colin for a new level of anointing and authority. We say, be strong and courageous in the power of His strength, that you would know His confidence surging through you. You would know His mind, His will, His plans, His purposes. And so we honor you, we honor the work of God in you to date, but we know there's more to come, and as you step into this flowing river, that you would know all the fullness of this next season. As Kristen said, not to stay here forever, but this next season, the fullness of all of that. So in Jesus' name now, we lay hands on you and commit you to God's purposes in this place. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, claps. Great, isn't it? Fantastic. Really good. Okay, we're going to hear a brief bit from Colin and a brief bit from Billy, and then we'll be out here by 10 past.
Of course, Dave wasn't able to be with us today. Dave Jones on the central team is on holiday at the moment. And I've also been told that the bass guys are still in the room. If they want to leave, they're welcome to. But if they want to listen to me, they're also welcome to, because you're part of the church, guys. Now, first thing I have to do, though, is apologise to Billy. I'm not supposed to apologise, but I need to apologise to Billy, because we invited him up to speak this morning. And, of course, events have overtaken us. Sorry? And football's not till 3 o'clock, Andy said, so we've got a lot of time. Oh, dear. But, sorry, Billy. But some other time we'll have to get you up so we can hear your heart. Because I want to honour these guys as their lead pioneer, because, they're doing such a fantastic job. They really are doing a fantastic job. And they're bringing new life to our network through the way that they lead. So thank you. Really facilitating the Spirit blowing through our network. You know, and like Kristen, I wasn't going to say anything today. That's why Billy was going to speak. But we both ended up speaking. And I just want to say, well, first of all, it is an honor and privilege to serve. I want to echo what Kristen said. That's what I have down here. It's the biggest honor for me to step up here and actually be named the leader of River Church. So thank you for the trust that you put in me. And I will endeavor to work wholeheartedly in that capacity for you. And yesterday I was saying to the Lord, what do you want me to say, if anything, today? I went for a walk along the River Thames. I like to get out in the countryside. There aren't any hills in Loki worth naming. Next week I can get to Wales, that'd be better. But this week there were no hills. So I went by the river. And, funnily enough, the Lord started to speak to me about Alan Kristen. And, it's wonderful to be here and to be prayed for by Alan Kristen, to be working with them, to call them my friends, because they represent 20 years of leadership in River. How many other churches can say that? That is wholesome. That is fantastic. We can stand together as friends and continue to work together. That is amazing. And, as I was meditating on their leadership, it struck me that ours leadership, now I'm going to say some general things, like generalizations. They're not black and white, so please bear with me and forgive me. I'm not meaning to be black and white, but these are just something I thought that the Spirit told me. He said that ours leadership was characterized by the Spirit. The church was birthed out of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and couldn't be contained in the traditional boxes. So churches like River sprung up all over the nation, all over the world at that time, because of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was a focus on the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, of which Al is, a great exponent, a great practitioner. And the emphasis was on things of the Spirit. We weren't called charismatic churches for a very good reason, because we love to talk about and to practice the charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was Kristen's leadership. Oh, sorry, ours leadership. And Kristen takes over. Kristen leads us. And his leadership, I'd like to just say, was characterized by the Son. Coming from Ichthus, you could not be anything else but Christocentric, Christ-centered. It's impossible. And Christmas, we've been through a season of being Christocentric, Christ-centered, which has been fantastic. And we've been led by Kristen on this journey into the presence of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, the Son of God. God with us. And the emphasis has been on the presence of God. It's been fantastic. And, you know, and I've enjoyed this adventure the last 20 years of leadership, of being part of River Church, because this is an adventure that we're on, as Kristen said. It's not a static thing. This is a life, faith-filled thing, a scary thing at times. It's caused me a lot of sleepless nights over the 20 years. But it's exciting. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I've been blessed so much by being part of this church. It is a fantastic group of people to be part of and to serve. And I don't want to lose what we've worked so hard to build into our foundations as a church. You need to know that. I honor the work of Alan's, the work of Kristen, in building in what they have. If anything, I want us to be a more charismatic church, not a less charismatic church going into the future. If anything, I want us to be pushing more into the presence of God than we ever do, ever have, up till this day. I love this journey. It's full of good things. Full of very good things, exciting things. And I want to pursue those values in my leadership too. But as I sat there by the river, I really felt the Holy Spirit say that, I asked her, why have you raised me up to this place? Why have you given me this role? Because I never asked for it. Why have you given me it? And I felt him say, Colin, I want your leadership of this church to be characterized by the Father. I want this next season to be characterized by fatherhood. I want this next season of River Church's life, this adventure, to be a place, River, to be a place of fathering. A good place to grow up. A good place to learn how to adventure, to take risks. Because that's what fathers do. They provide a safe place for their children to take risks and explore and grow up. And mature. A place of understanding of the Father's heart. A safe place. And the emphasis is on the love of God. Now, there's not too many groans around. Because if you know me, that is what my heart beats with. So, in a way, I'm not surprised that actually that's what the Spirit said to me. That is my passion. The love of God is my passion. So if leadership of this church is influenced by the leader, then this church is going to be influenced by that passion for the love of God. I see everything through that lens. I see love is the motivation for creation. When we say, why did God make the world? The answer is love, pure and simple. That's my passionate belief. Love is the ultimate aim and goal of creation. When we know love, we have eternal life. But when the Apostle Paul tells us, when we don't have love, we're nothing. Because love is the goal. If Genesis 1 tells us that we are created to be in God's image, which I believe, obviously, tick the box, he believes in Scripture, then Ephesians chapter 3 tells us how. When Paul prays for the Ephesian church, he prays that they will know the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of the love of Christ. The love of Christ. That they may be filled to the fullness of God. We attain fullness, we attain maturity, we attain grown-upness in our image of God as we understand his love for us in Christ. That's what I live and breathe. And so I, as I take up this role, I know that the Spirit is asking me to lead in love, to lead in knowing the love of God, to lead in receiving his love. He's also asking me to walk in love, to lead in walking it out. What does it mean? Because love can mean so many things to so many different people. But by being who I am, to actively lead in walking out love, in giving his love away. And you know, for me, this is the heartbeat of God. Can you hear it? It's receive my love. Give it away. Receive my love. Give it away. Know my love. Make it known. Love God. Love people. Receive my love and give it away. Give. Receive. Give. That river of life that flows from heaven is a river of love. So I need your prayer as I take on this leadership, because that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is asking me to do, to lead us into a season when we know the love of God more deeply, and a season which is characterized by the Father heart of God. And he's asked me to do three things, I believe, specifically, to continue to lead us into his presence and to know his love ever more deeply. Because that's the source of everything. Without that, like Moses said, unless your presence goes with us, we're no different from the club that meets down the road. And Moses didn't say that. He said from the tribe next door. But you know what I mean. The presence is our unique point. Without that, we're nothing. So that's the first thing. I must continue to pursue that. He's asking me to strengthen our love for one another. Our sense of community, of what it means to be part of a family of River Church. To strengthen our sense of team. So no matter what role we play, no matter which part of the body we are, we know where we belong. We know we're part of a wider unit working together. And lastly, the third thing, you know, he wants me to encourage us to love our communities and to demonstrate his love to those who don't yet know it, who haven't felt the warmth of his love. You know, guys, don't you? When you've experienced the love of God, life is different. When you wake up, for me, I woke up the next day feeling tremendously different. The world looked a different place. And we need to get out there more. We need to be out in our communities, amongst our neighbours, amongst the estates in which we live, in our public places. We need to. So it's love God, love one another, and love the lost. For me, those are the three that the Spirit's asking me to lead in this season of fatherhood. So I just want to finish by reading those verses from Ephesians over us, prophetically, because there's power in them if we allow it to transform us, to really speak to our hearts.
I felt Colin should pray over us. I want this for you to receive this as a prayer at the end.
It is a prayer. It's one that Paul prayed, but it's my prayer for us as I take on the leadership, as myself and Vicky take on the leadership, because I'm really looking forward to working with that lady. Bless you, Vicky. We could be a good team. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. The Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. There's never an end of it. Never an end. We never arrive. It surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen.
I just want to ask you to stay on your feet. All that I was going to say has been said, so I'm not going to say it again. But you know, in Acts 13, 14, where Paul and Barnabas were set apart for the ministry which God had called them to, it was, as Kristen said, it was for the church to grow up, to create some space for others to step in. And it was for the Gentiles. They came back and reported that God had given them an open door among the Gentiles. It's for us and it's for them. But let's not make that barrier between us and them too great. It's for those who don't yet know Christ and those of us who do. And so we've prayed for Kristen, we've prayed for Vicky, we've prayed for Colin, and I want to pray for you. Al did it earlier on at the beginning, because you are being commissioned, River Church, into this new season that God is calling you into. We may have seen that symbolized by praying for a few leaders, but actually as the leaders are growing, so it's creating space for all of us to grow. And all over Pioneer right now, there is transition and change going on, because I believe that God is calling the church to a new place. The church to be who God wants us to be in these days. A church full of his presence and his power and his life and his love, demonstrating his kindness and his mercies and his grace to those who don't yet know him. So I want to pray for you, River Church. And we want to commission you into all that God has for each one of you. As you have sat and you've heard Kristen talk about his own sense of loss, but faith, as Colin has talked about his heart for love, I pray for each one of us that we would know what it is that God is calling us to. We would see new horizons and new opportunities, and we'd see new open doors ahead of us, whereby we're able to receive more of the love of the Father and give that away, that God would give us opportunity to do that. Those of us who feel we're at in cul-de-sacs and dead end, I pray that God would give you fresh sight to see, new revelation to understand who you are in Christ and who he is calling you to be in this new season. And so we commission you, River Church, in the towns and the villages and the hamlets in which you live, the places, the offices, the schools, the universities, where you worship, where you walk, where you work, that you would know who he has called you to be in this new season. That you would not just live on the old manner, the manner from yesterday, but you would receive in a fresh way from heaven who it is that God is calling you to, as individuals, as small groups, and as communities in this new season. And so in Jesus' name, as we prayed for a new level of authority and anointing for those in leadership, so I pray for you that you would know a new level of anointing and authority in this new season that God has called you into. That this would be a season of fulfillment and of fruitfulness for each one of you. That as we participate together in the purposes of God, so together we would become that church that God wants us to be. Full of his presence and full of his love. Impacting and influencing, caring for a hurting and a dying world. And so I commission you In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. It's been good, isn't it? Do you know, I wish you could stand here. I wish you could see the love and the grace that's on your faces. Because it's very special. The love and the grace that's been in this room today has been very, very special. It's been a lovely mix of love, grace, and authority. And that reflects the Father's heart.